Podcast.
Yeah, I think it's more comfortable overall. Of course, second year in the playbook, so you know it a lot more. You're not thinking at all when you're out there. My body feels a lot better. So now it's just having fun, really. I don't have to think about a new scheme, about like being on the field, anything new. Like, now it's just completely having fun.
That was John Mechie after practice on Tuesday. And Seth, Mechie, by all accounts, has had a really good offseason. Really good offseason, really good training camp so far. It seems like that he is poised to have a really big year in what is technically his third NFL season, but really just his second. But are there some reasons that we need to maybe pump the brakes on it just a little bit?
I think that, for one, yes, I'm very impressed by just how much different he looks physically. He told Brandon and John that he's as fast as he's ever been, including college, that he's faster than he was in college. So, and just how brutal last year was after just having come off of cancer treatment, well, then training for football right before the year started, that it took a toll on him. So we heard from CJ Stroud in the offseason about how good Mechie looked, and you never know, you know, what to really believe about it. And he's looked exactly like CJ Stroud said he would. He's looked just like a much better version of himself. I think the two things that make you just wonder, okay, but what does that mean for 2024, is simply one, that you've got these three starting receivers that are going to get the vast majority of the targets, not to mention Dalton Schultz, you know, not to mention Joe Mixon. Like, there's a lot of targets. So I don't, like, from a fantasy perspective, I don't know. I wouldn't look at him as a sleeper. Even though last year, John Mechie was kind of he was listed as a sleeper, you know, a sleeper fantasy dude in a lot of ways. This year, I don't think you can do that, just because even if he's the best he's ever been, there's just not that many targets to go around. But then the other side of it is just that he's had quite a few drops. You know, there's that side of it. In the team periods, you know, you can't watch every snap and know exactly, you know, what was supposed to happen on any given down. I think he's shined, at least to the naked eye, more in the one-on-ones and in seven-on-seven than he has in the team periods. But he's also at times just shown, like, this is the biggest thing. I've seen him run past Jeff Okuda and, like, gain separation on Jeff Okuda, who's a very, very fast human being. I've seen him in one-on-ones, even though it's, you know, one-on-ones are slanted in favor of the wide receivers. I've seen him, you know, give Derek Stingley a hard time. I've seen him give Kamari Lassiter a hard time. So I'm looking at the upside of him, but I just don't know about, all right, are having solid, dependable hands something that over time guys actually get better at? Is it something that you can just excuse away as like, okay, they just need to develop that? Remember, they used to do that quarterbacks into accuracy. They used to say, like, well, quarterbacks just can't, they don't get more accurate. And then Dak Prescott came along and Josh Allen came along, and those guys actually got more accurate from college to the NFL and then in their time in the NFL. That's just the big X factor for me, is how do the Texans feel about his hands and his catching ability?
You know,
it's kind of a big deal for a receiver.
It feels like he's been winning a lot just in the one-on-ones, and he's been really impressive in the one-on-ones. But even when you watch some of those videos, he almost like catches the ball at his body way too much. And there was one specifically on Saturday. I can't remember who he beat one-on-one, but just the way that he caught it, like, that ball is getting jarred loose in a game. Like, when you get hit, there's no way that you're holding onto the ball. So I do think that's something that he needs to at least, you know, work on, or at least, like, understand, like, have the ball out in front of you a little bit better and trust your hands a little bit more. Now, that's probably comes with experience maybe more than anything else. But, like, we talk about he's coming back from leukemia. He also was coming back from the torn ACL. So he was basically recovering from those two things at the same time. That's not easy at all. And for me, the fact that he does seem to have his explosiveness back and his speed back, I think that's incredibly important. And then you hope, like you said, the hands, you know, that sort of stuff, you know, catching the football, that comes as he gets a little further removed from everything and he gets on the field a little bit more.
Yeah, who's the scouting report out of college was that he didn't have great hands. You know, it wasn't, I don't remember seeing a lot of negatives about it, but it wasn't a guy that you expected to wrestle away balls in 50-50 situations. I mean, it, for how the Texans would use him, I think, is on a lot of underneath stuff and every, like, it's not necessarily going to be. He needs to, yeah, and he needs to be a guy that can create space underneath. And I think that's the biggest plus on him is that just he looks like that guy that is so good at getting in and out of his routes now and has become a more meticulous and, like, violently fast route runner that that doesn't become much, as much of a negative as long as he's getting that initial separation.
All right, the offensive line during camp, listen, they're going up against what I think is going to wind up being a very good front seven, but are you concerned by anything with what you've seen from the O-line so far?
The biggest thing that concerns me is, one, just that if one of your offensive tackles gets injured, which tends to happen with these two offensive tackles, that I don't think Blake Fisher is ready yet. We're still early in camp, and he hasn't faced live NFL competition yet, so there's still time. But what I'm nervous about right now is, yeah, if they had to play a regular season today, game today, and Blake Fisher was going in as your swing tackle, you're not going to get a George Fant type of performance that we saw last year. For what it's worth, George Fant looked awful in training camp last year, too, and he was a veteran. So it's like there's time, but if we were to do it right now, that's what I would be worried about. And then the other side is just on the interior of the offensive line, there have been too many mental errors. So it's, you know, you've got a second year center who's got more experience at left guard than actual center. You've got Kenyon Green, who's basically like a second year player for you. And there's going to be busts. There's going to be mental errors when you have younger guys in there. It's just that some of the ones that have happened in camp have been of the variety of like, oh, Al Shaier just went completely unchallenged straight to the quarterback, right up the A gap or right up the B gap. And in those mistakes, you never know for sure who made the mental error, whether it was Scruggs or Kenyon Green. But that's another thing that, okay, if they had to play today, I'd be super nervous about it. They've got another month of getting that stuff right that hopefully it's not as big of an issue, but it's a concern right now.
With Fisher, just reading some of the stuff about him after the draft, like there were people that thought that he was a first round talent if he had stayed for another year at Notre Dame. Are you seeing that? Like, do you see the talent to where he could develop into someone who could be a reliable starter?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he has looked like. And that's where, again, I'm not worried about him in the long term. I think he's got a lot of potential to develop into a good player. But this is why, in those first few days when they're not practicing in pads, he was the guy that I was most interested in watching in pads because he's a taller guy that kind of plays with a higher pad level. And you could see in those early days that like he was athletically, he could keep up. You know, there were going to be times where Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter were going to get him just because they're such good pass rushers. But it didn't look like it was a lack of athleticism that was hurting him. When they put the pads on, I think you noticed a difference. Once the power element was really added to it, you could see that he's really got to get, it's not that he has to get stronger, it's just that he needs to learn how to use his strength better by playing with a lower pad level. And some guys, they figure that out in their rookie training camp. Some guys will figure it out over the course of like two seasons. So I don't know where he's going to fall on that. Every 6'6" Pro Bowl offensive tackle started out in his rookie year, almost every, like getting taken one on the chin his first couple weeks in camp because it's just a completely different standard that you have to play to. And Fisher hasn't like made that leap yet, but it's not like it's unexpected, and it doesn't mean that he can't figure it out in the next 4 weeks. You just never know exactly how quickly guys will figure it out.
All right, coming up next, we will close out the show by looking ahead to tonight's Hall of Fame game in Canton between the Texans and the Bears. What are we looking for? Who's got the most pressure on them? Who has the most to gain? And also, I want to get Seth's thoughts on Andre Johnson being inducted into the Hall of Fame. What is it like watching one of your old teammates get that honor? That is next on Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610.